Well, praise the Lord, saints. I concur with David when he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I'm so thankful that we're able to be back together. I know circumstances are not what we like, but we are together. I pray that we continue to be patient one with another in this transition and understanding some things. Thankful for the brethren for leading our worship, keeping things decently and in order. Thank you, Travis, and Brother Phil, and Brother Jackson for leading us in our worship. This morning, if you have your Bibles, turn to Nehemiah. We'll be there in the book of Nehemiah this morning on the topic of revival in process. Revival in process. I believe there's some points from the book of Nehemiah that can help us even today in 2020 as we strive to serve our God in a very meaningful fashion, in a very meaningful way. Before we get to the scripture that was read in your hearing, let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord God, eternal, our righteous Father, we thank and we praise you for being God. For you're the God of transition. You're the God that takes beauty from ashes. The God that gives us praise even in sorrow. And God, we come before you this morning acknowledging that you're sovereign God, that you're the ruler of the universe. God, do nothing different. Continue to be God. Continue to control this universe by the power of your might and your will. And we'll submit to your will in all things. Help us this morning as we strive to look at these points in Nehemiah that we can be better Christians today and tomorrow than we have been in the past. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In Nehemiah chapter 8, we're really at a very pivotal point of the book of Nehemiah. The scripture that was read in your hearing, chapter 8, verse 5, the Bible says there, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Then all the people answered, Amen, Amen, while lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. There's a lot that has taken place prior to getting to chapter 8. That kind of helps us understand this ideal of revival that's needed in the life of Nehemiah and these people. Have you ever started a project? Something you said you're going to do, but as time went on, you never finished it. And what always happens is that something comes in the way that kind of takes away from this ideal of productivity that hinders us. Perhaps you can relate. One danger facing God's people is complacency. The people of God had been in captivity. And now they've returned from captivity to build this wall and to rebuild the temple. But yet there was something that was still a problem. In the book of Nehemiah, we talk about Nehemiah commissioning the people to build the wall. But yet I believe there's a deeper point there in the book of Nehemiah. Consider with me that sometime, and perhaps we're in this space as well, we lose zeal, we lose desire, we lose our fervor for the things of God. And so Nehemiah takes a group of weary, feeble Jews, and he reminds them of their forgotten purpose in God. Go with me to Nehemiah chapter 2. In chapter 1, Nehemiah is questioning his brethren about the Jews, and he realizes the condition that they're in. And so in chapter 2, Nehemiah talks with the king and says, King, this is the problem that the people of God are in, what they're suffering through. And is there anything I can do about it? God has put something on me, and I'm going to go back and rebuild this wall. What does the king do? Gives them wood and gives them material to go back and rebuild. But notice, Nehemiah gets to Jerusalem. And at night, Nehemiah goes and he looks at this wall and the desolation therein. And notice what happens in verse 17 of chapter 2. Then I said to them, that is the nobles, the Jews, the officials, and the others, and the priests, verse 17. Then I said to them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste, and its gates are burned with fire. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be a reproach. Nehemiah says, you started a project, and for whatever reason you stopped. And now because you stopped and have been a little slothful, nothing has really taken place. Notice we are reproach. And what's he mean by a reproach? We're a reproach among the nations. And so Nehemiah says something here, I think, that initiates the people. He says, come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem. The first point of revival is that you need a revivalist. You need someone to pull out of you what was already there and remind you of your purpose. Verse 18. So after he pulls this out, notice what their response is. And I told them of the hand of God, which he had been good upon me, and also the king's words, which he had spoken to me. So they said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to this good work. Nehemiah, he pulls something out of the people that were weak, that were feeble, that became sluggish. He ignites a revival. And saints of God, if there's anything that we need in 2020, it's a revival. We need a revival of going back to a few things, and we're going to talk about that a little this morning. But please consider with me that passion for God ignites from the inside out, and then the flame spreads. Notice what Nehemiah said. The good hand of God was on me. So notice this is an inside job. Nehemiah is dealing with this in his inner man. He's dealing with this problem. And so he ignites his courage to pray to God and to ask the king. God grants him his request. And then in verse 18, what happens? The fame spreads. What do the people say? Let's rise up and build. Listen, we've been here for too long not doing what we ought to be doing. I love verse 18 because they don't just say, let's rise up and build. I think this is perhaps the problem with a lot of people. We make plans to make plans. To make plans to make plans. They made a plan. Then they set their hands to this good work. The flame began to spread amongst God's people. There are 3 points this morning, like most sermons. But the first point this morning, Nehemiah's step of revival, is that there needs to be a renewed reverence for the Word of God. Nehemiah is not just sent to the people to build a wall. I believe there needs to be a renewed reverence because remember where the people had come from. Go back to Nehemiah chapter 8. In Nehemiah chapter 8, in verse number 1, beginning through verse number 3, notice what the Bible says here on how they started this revival, if you will. The Bible says, now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in the front of the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could hear and with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. Then he read it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning to midday before the men and women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Why do I say there needs to be a renewal of reverence? Because the people had been in captivity. In the captivity, they weren't reading the book of the law. Prior to captivity, the word of God was there. And what happened? The people of God did not take heed to the word of God. Let's go back to Nehemiah chapter 1. Notice what it said there in chapter number 1. In chapter number 1 of Nehemiah, verse number 7. The Bible says, and actually let's begin at the latter end of verse number 6. Notice what the Bible says there at the latter end of verse number 6. Both my father's house and I have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Notice what the problem is. We did not honor and respect the things of God. And notice, because we did not honor and reverence the things of God, we're in a situation, a 70-year situation. And yet these people are learning a great lesson, a lesson of renewed reverence. Saints of God, you don't know what you have until it's almost gone. You don't know what you're missing until luxuries and liberties are taken away, right? We can agree with that. But go back to Nehemiah chapter number 9 real quickly. In chapter 9, as the scribes are given the rehearsal of the law and the nature of Israel and God, notice what the Bible there says. The Bible says there, nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebel against you, cast your law behind their backs, killed your prophets who testified against them. Notice what took place. It wasn't that there was no law in the land. That was not the problem. Notice, but we chose to be disobedient. We rebelled and we hid this book of the law behind our backs. We killed the prophets. We testified against them. We turned them to yourselves and their works. Then they worked great provocation. They provoked God to wrath and anger. That's what happened. And so Nehemiah goes back to the source of the turmoil that the people of God had experienced. And so they're reading this book of the law, which they haven't heard for years. They're reading about God and the nature of God. And then they're cut to the heart. In chapter 8, verses 9 and 10, notice what is said there. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and the scribes, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep." For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. I submit to you as something new to them. Remember, 70 years of captivity, people died there. Babies were born there. And here it is now, they're back in the city of David. And they hear the word of God. And they begin to weep. But notice what is said in verse 10. Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to the poor. To those who have nothing prepared, for the day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." When we fail to have respect and reverence for thus saith the Lord, we need to take a pause and have renewed reverence for the word of God. I believe this quarantine has been a great time. And by great time, people that's been at home and working at home and been at home again more than normal, I've been reading my Bible a lot more, studying a lot more, been with other Christians a lot more. Why? We take full advantage of these times. There needs to be a renewed respect for the Word of God. But then the next point is that we must remember the mighty hand of God. If revival is really going to take place, we need to remember the acts of God. In chapter 9, the people come back together to hear the reciting of the law. And now the Levites and the scribes are getting together to rehearse the history of God with Israel. Begin with me in chapter number 9, verse 5, beginning. We'll skip the names of the Levites for convenience, and we'll start in section B. The Bible says, "Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. Blessed be your glorious name, which is exalted above all blessings and praise. You alone are the Lord. You have made the heavens of heavens, and all their hosts. The earth and everything in it, the seas and all that is in them. You preserve them all. The hosts of heavens worship you. You are the Lord God who chose Abram, brought him out of Ur of the Chaldees, and gave him the name Abraham. You found his heart faithful before you. You made a covenant with him to give the land of the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, and the Girgashites, and gave it to his descendants. You have performed your word, for you are righteous. You saw the afflictions of our fathers in Egypt. You heard their cry by the Red Sea. You showed signs and wonders against Pharaoh, against all his servants, and against all the people of his land. For you knew that they acted proudly against them. You made a name for yourself as it was that day. As you divided the sea before them, so they went through the midst of the sea on dry land, and their persecutors you threw in the deep as a stone into the mighty waters. Notice what they're doing. This is something that should have took place every generation. In every home, the little children should have known about the great and awesome God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They should have known about the wilderness wonder. They should have known about the house of bondage in Egypt. And yet they did not know. And here it is. The Levites and the scribes remind the people of the mighty hand of God that was on them. Saints, God has been good to us. If I didn't have another point this morning, we could end the lesson right there. God has just been good to us. I want us to be very cautious. When we say God has been good to us, it's not that God hasn't been good to others, and that's certainly not the case. God has been good to everyone. Last night I received a call about a family in Alabama. Their son was dying of COVID-19. And the mother was on the line as we were praying for her, and she was sad. But I reminded her to thank God for the happy times and the memories. Thank God for what you had, not so much as what you're losing. Sometime we need to just go back and just say, well, God, you have been just so good. Some of you are waiting for your refund checks and your stimulus package. But I'm going to say this. You still had clothes and food and a house. And you may have gotten a little behind on your bills. But we serve a God that can, you know, play catch up. We serve an awesome God. Notice the direction that these people take there. In verse number 6. About God. You alone are the Lord. Verse 6, you made the heavens. Verse 6, you preserved them all. Verse number 7, you are the Lord God who chose Abram. Verse number 8, you found him right before you. Verse 8, you made a covenant with him. Verse 8, you were going to give him the land. Verse 9, you saw the affliction. Verse 9, you heard. Verse 10, you saw the wonders. Verse 10, notice again, verse 10, you made a name for yourself. We serve a God who is a God of action. He doesn't sleep and slumber. He is not lazy. He is not slothful. He has done great and awesome things for the people. And so they take a step back. We're reading this law. And we're going back doing feast days and we're cleaning ourselves up before God. But we remember that God's just been so good. Just been so good to us. Go back. God chose Abram. God didn't have to do that. God saw their affliction and heard their cry. And he didn't have to respond. God opened up the Red Sea. He could have let them get to the Red Sea because they were murmuring, remember? You brought us out here to die, Moses. And God could have let them just sit at the sea and just cried and cried and let their enemies overtake them. But God opened it up. Remembering the mighty hand of God helps us initiate this revival. I believe it's important to remember, and let's go back to verse number 17 of chapter number 9. Though all these things happen, notice the nature of God and his mighty hand. Verse 17, they refused to obey. They were not mindful of your wonders that you did among them, but they hardened their necks. And in their rebellion, they appointed leaders to return back to their bondage. The latter end of verse 17 makes me so emotional. We see this a few times in Scripture. But your God, ready to pardon gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in kindness, and did not forsake them. We would have given them up, but God. I think some translations say, you know, ready to forgive. He was willing to pardon them. And remembering who God is really helps us initiate a revival. But in closing, the last point this morning is repentance of sin and rededication to God is the next step needed in revival. Go with me to chapter 10. So now by this point, they're reading the book of the law and they're realizing their sins before God. And so in chapter 10, they're going to go into a covenant with the God of Israel. And in chapter 10, notice what is said there in verse number 28 beginning. Now the rest of the people, the priests and the Levites and the gatekeepers and the singers and the Nephilim and all those who had separated themselves from the people of the land to the Lord God, their wives, their sons, and their daughters, and everyone who had knowledge and understanding. Before I go any farther, I want to stop here. And I want to define something for you. Sometimes the scripture does this. And when you're reading scripture, slow down and try to define things. Notice what the people did. They, verse 28, and all those who had separated themselves from the people of the land to the law of God. Notice what Nehemiah is doing. He's defining repentance. Repentance is not just stop doing what you're doing. Repentance is stop doing what you're doing and turn to God. You're making a 180 in repentance. It's not enough to just stop, because any of us can just stop something that we're doing and still be rebellious in heart. But yet these people stop with the people of the land. They refrain and they separate themselves from that. Then they join themselves to the law of the Lord. And notice, as a result, everyone who had knowledge and understanding, how did they get to the point of repentance? Because they had been reading the law. They had been reading and studying and investigating this God of heaven. And God doesn't want us to do this. And so what are we going to do? We're going to continue to purge ourselves. So notice verse number 29. These joined with their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse and an oath to walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of God, to observe to do all the commandments of the Lord your God, the Lord of lords, and his ordinances and statutes. We would not give our daughters as wives to the people of the land, nor take their daughters for our sons. Notice what they're doing. They repent, they turn from the people of the land, they separate from them, turn to God, and because now they've turned to God, they make a declaration. Then we're going to recommit. We're not going to give our sons and our daughters over to the people of the land. Notice what else they did in chapter 10 as another point of option. In chapter 10, they remind themselves of what they should give back to the Levites. They weren't doing that. Notice the point. Repentance and rededication only starts when we get back into the Word of God. They would have not known how to please God, how to serve God, how to do anything to be in God's favor had they not gone back to the law to know the will of the true and the living God. Revival's in progress. And I leave you with 3 points. The first point, if we're going to have a modern day revival, we need to take observation. Nehemiah looked around and observed the wall. He observed the state of the people. And the question is, why have we become slothful to the things of God? And the question is, when we don't believe, we won't obey. I know that sounds harsh, but it's the truth. Those who don't believe just won't obey. And then he takes evaluation. He evaluated what God had done for them. God owed them nothing, but they owed God everything. Truth of the matter is, God has been better to them than they had ever been to God. And so they evaluate. And then they implement what they've learned from the law of God
to do all the commandments of the God. And how do we know they implemented it? They separated themselves. They rededicated themselves. They walked into a covenant with God. And the question is, am I willing to implement, even when it means I have to turn from the pleasures of life? Saints, I've never been married, but I can imagine that to be a hard situation, having to give up your spouse that you've been with, because that's not your real spouse. And God says you're not supposed to mix and mingle with people of the land. And there in Nehemiah's day, what the people do, they gave up their spouses. They said, our children won't marry those people. They gave all that up. Why? That they may seek God. There's a revival in progress. Thank you for your kind attention. At this time, we're going to have a song of invitation. After the song of invitation, I'm sorry, the communion song, and then we'll go right into our Lord's Supper devotion.
We're going to sing number 488. Jesus paid it all, number 488.